the gospel on the thing? Do you put the gospel?
Yeah, I usually do.
So the Jesse tree symbol that we just hung on the Jesse tree reminds us that God chose a people, a family to love, to watch over. God promised to be their God, and they would be God's people. For 400 years, God watched over them while they were in slavery in Egypt, as they labored in the hot sun for an evil Pharaoh. For 40 years, God led them through the wilderness, feeding them with manna and quail and leading them with a pillar of cloud and fire. Watching over, leading, feeding. This is how God was their God. This is how they were God's people. After their long wilderness journey, the people took possession of the promised land, settling there, growing crops, building cities. Settling down, they crowned kings and established armies. No longer following a pillar of cloud and fire, but settling into the land, the best architects and artists and engineers built a temple in the midst of their major city. A temple so beautiful that the people would sing songs when they walked there, write poems about its courts and its doors. God promised to dwell in that temple, to meet the people there, dwelling with them, abiding with them, opening beauty to them. This is how God was their God. Gathering there, worshiping there. That is how the people were God's people. And then, disaster. The land was invaded, the city destroyed, the beautiful temple of all the songs and the poems reduced to rubble, and the people were scattered to the north and the south and the east and the west. The architects and the artists, the engineers, the lawyers, anyone with skill to rebuild was sent away to the major cities of the country that had conquered them. All the people were scattered in different places. Unlike the time in the wilderness, they could not walk together behind a pillar of cloud and fire. They could not eat together over their modest meals of manna and quail. Unlike the time of the kings and the temple, there was no place where God could be found, where the joy of gathering could be experienced. So how, in that time of disaster, would the ancient promise still hold? How would God still be God? And how would the people be God's people? From the midst of disaster, the prophet Isaiah spoke. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. In the midst of disaster, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight a highway. Hear a promise. Your God will come and save you. In the midst of disaster, speaking and comforting is how God would be God. Listening and hoping in the midst of disaster is how the people would be God's people. Years passed. The disaster ended. The exiles returned to their city. And the temple was rebuilt, but it was not the same. Some of the people came back from exile, but not all of them. The names and the memories of some were lost to time, like grass that withers, like flowers that fade. And even those that did return discovered that it was hard to put life back together again. It would certainly not be as it had ever been. But the new way of God's promise, the old ancient promise, alive in new ways, continued to hold them fast. God continued speaking, and the people continued listening. Someone wrote Isaiah's words down, and they were read over and over again, still nevertheless filled with life. Comfort, comfort, my people. Prepare. The glory of the Lord will be revealed. Speaking and comforting is how God would be God. Listening is how people would be people, God's people. And in listening, faith gave birth to hope. Hope in all that God would do. Centuries even later than the return from exile, the enduring hope would drive great, 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 and perhaps even more great grandchildren out of the city and into the wilderness to listen to the preaching of John the Baptist. All the people, Mark's gospel says, went to hear him, all the residents of Jerusalem and the Judean countryside, the city elite and the country folks, people who had returned from exile, who had taken up residence again in the promised land, and yet knew somehow the community was not yet complete. People who, listening, still lived by hope for all that God could yet do and bring about. People who nevertheless clung to a word of comfort in hope that all brokenness would be restored. The people gathered at the River Jordan listening to John were people possessed by hope that even when it seemed like all was broken, the Word of God still does stand forever. People hoping that even one more powerful than John would be coming. One who would fulfill the prophecy of the prophet Isaiah in one who would feed his flock like a shepherd, who would carry the young, and who would lead those who are weak. Speaking and comforting is how God is God. Listening and hoping is how God's people endure. The invasion and the warfare that overwhelmed the people of Jerusalem at the time of the exile, nearly 600 years before Christ, the disaster that scattered the people far away from their lands that could not be put back together again, that disaster is not the same as the disaster we are currently experiencing, the slow-moving pandemic that is washing over our land and our community at this moment. They are crises of different magnitudes, but they are crises, both of them, nevertheless. And while this pandemic has been on us now for months, for many of us in our congregation and our community, this past week, it got real. For this week was especially rattling, with Butler Hospital's ICU filling. It's here now, many of you have said to me. We know people who are sick. We know people who are hospitalized. We know people who have died or are dying. Some of those numbers are our names. And with that, each day continues to be filled with agonizing choices. Where do we go? How will we handle the isolation? This cough, is it allergies or is it the virus? What decision can we make about our children's education that will serve them well? What will we do about the increasing numbers of hungry people among us? As I've spoken with pastors, other pastors in our community, and other community leaders this week, there's one theme that just keeps coming up over and over again. We have no good choices. That no one likes not worshiping in person, but no one likes the fear of worshiping in person. No one likes a disaster. With disaster comes brokenness, comes exile from everything that you knew. But the scriptures, you see, our faith, the word of God, well, it is a word for disaster. The season of Advent is a season that proclaims hope in the midst of disaster. Some years we cannot see that all very clearly. But this year we don't have much to have to peel back in order to hear the words that Isaiah wants us to hear. The word of God, which is a word of comfort, spoken through the prophet, recapitulated again in the fiery preaching of John the Baptist. No, we cannot put ourselves back together again. Yes, everything is broken. Above all, we need saving. We're hurting on all levels, physically and spiritually and socially and communally, but the grace of God endures forever, despite the hurt. And the grace of God is this: that God is always saving a people who need saving. That God is always leading a people who need leading. And that God is always, no matter what the circumstances, finding new ways to fulfill the promise that God will be God and we will be God's people. For by Jesus Christ, we have been made part of this ancient people and recipients of God's gracious promise. He was a descendant of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the people of God's promise. His ancestors were the ones in the wilderness. His ancestors worshipped at the temple, were exiled, returned. By his faithfulness, we too can hear Isaiah's prophecy as words that are meant for us. For he is the fulfillment of God's promises. He is the word that is always spoken in hope. The word made flesh now here among us, speaking, comforting. This is how God is God. Listening. This is how we are God's people. So this Advent, in the midst of the disaster, let your faith become hope. Every year in Advent, the words of John the Baptist prophesy to us about one who is more powerful that is coming. Every year at Christmas, we see that powerful one swaddled and laying in a manger. A people who listen are people who, nevertheless weighed down by disaster, can see that God is bringing new things to birth. God speaks, comforts. We listen. We hope. Amen.